Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's short, it's sweet, it's one verse, and it's the answer to every single question, every single problem that we have. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. I'm extremely nervous. They say if you can't baffle them with your brilliance, dazzle them with your BS. And that's how I've gotten through most of my life. I am not an eloquent speaker. I'm great in a room, but I'm not great standing up front. So keep me in prayer. Tom had asked me to preach before when he went away on his vacation. He had two Sundays that he missed, and he asked me to fill in for one of them. And I told him no. And the reason I told him no is because I told him I wasn't worthy and I wasn't able. And I'm not a preacher. And I didn't feel I had anything to contribute. And so Tom pushed me the way Tom pushes. And I'm more stubborn than Tom, I think. So I won. And I didn't have to preach. But then, right afterwards, I started feeling really guilty. And God started to speak to me, and I heard a verse over and over and over again. And of course, I didn't know the reference itself. I had to Google it. But it was 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And, you know, God asked Moses to go before Pharaoh and speak for him, and Moses said, no, God, I can't. I'm not an eloquent speaker. And what Moses didn't get was God had no intentions of letting Moses speak anyway. You know, Moses was going to flap his little clay lips, but God was going to speak through him. So I pray that that's the way it works today. So preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. And I would tell you right now that I'm out of season. It would be a lot easier if you guys didn't know me and I could come up here and smile and wave my hands. But you know me. And I've been here about 20 years. And I've had valleys and I've had mountaintops. And I've been on fire for the Lord. And I've really enjoyed it. But lately I've been in a valley. And things haven't been going so great for me. And so I've been really wrestling with God. I'm like, Lord, what can I preach on? What can I possibly talk about? What can I tell these people they don't already know? I mean, you guys, we have a great preacher. We have a great teacher. And you've had 20 years, or some of you more, some of you less, but of some really solid teaching. So today I'm going to teach on what I know about best and what I'm most qualified to preach on, and that's going to be defeat. Walking in defeat. So this is about me, and it's about my life, and it's about my walk. I'm not preaching at you. I'm not preaching to you. I'm sharing my story. And if you can get something out of it, great. If not, pray for me. So when I talk about being in defeat, I'm defeated in a lot of areas of my life. And I think everyone here suffers defeat subway one way or another. But like I said, I'm going to keep it for me. And for me, I'm defeated in the area of lust. I lust with my eyes. I lust in my heart. I'm defeated in anger. I'm a really angry guy. And I blow up at the drop of a hat. With that comes anger. And the Bible says, out of the overflow of your heart speaks your lips. And so out of that comes foul language. And I blame that on my work, because I'm around the type of people I'm around at work, and I do the type of work I do. It's an easy excuse, but it's not an excuse. And with the foul language comes coarse joking and arrogance and pride. And I'm sure I could list even more and more and more, but they're the top 10 or so that God laid on my heart. And I get angry and I get bitter. And I wonder why. And I start out every day, Lord, help me be better today than I was yesterday. Help me to live for Christ and to be a witness today. Just give me some sort of victory today. And then it seems like I end every night the same way. I lay in my dark room and I can feel my heart beating and I'm recounting my day. And I ask God for forgiveness because I've wasted another day. Because I've wasted more opportunities and I've given away a precious treasure, you know, I mean, the Bible says that we're like grass. You know, we come, we bloom, and then we're gone. And what's going to be left of our life is what we make of it, the legacy that we leave. And it can be money, and it can be fame, but it could be anything. But the most important thing is what we did for Christ, because that's all that's going to matter in the end. And so I found myself asking for forgiveness every single night because I'm living in defeat. And I ask God, why? And I don't know if I didn't get an answer or I didn't want to listen to the answer, but this past week, trying to come up with something to talk about, I've really had to get into the Word of God, and I've really had to pray. And so it's been good for me because I've been terrified this entire week, and it's been very sobering for me. And I've been praying, and I ask God, why? Why can't I have victory? And the answer is scary. It's because I choose defeat. I choose to be defeated. Proverbs 26:11 says, and this could say Patrick 26:11. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their folly. A wise man once said that insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting a different result. And I'm caught in this loop, doing the same stupid things and expecting something different. And the result is always defeat. And the reason I'm defeated is because I choose defeat. It's a conscious choice, and there's really no one to blame. 2 Peter 2:22 says, of them the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. And I've been washed. And I don't want to make it seem, woe is me, poor is me, because like I said, I know we all struggle, but I'm trying to keep this about me. And I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. And I know there was a time in my life where I recognized that I couldn't make it to heaven without Christ. And I realized that I wasn't as cool as I thought I was, and one day there was going to be a reckoning. And so I gave my life to Christ, and there was a change in my life. And there was a time when I was active in prayer, and I was active in youth group, and I was active in going out in evangelism explosion, and I did all kinds of things, and I thrived. And I was living in victory. And somehow I traded it for a bowl of soup. And I traded it for defeat because nothing good has come from my life living the way I'm living right now. I've said it in private, and I've said it in public in front of you guys, and I've said it in front of his face. I blame Tom for a lot of it. I got really angry at him. And the reason I was angry at Tom is because I felt like it was his fault because I came here and all I heard on Sundays was doom and gloom preaching. That there was no hope, there was going to be nothing but judgment, that God was angry. And I left here feeling defeated, and I left here feeling bad, and I was like, oh, it's Tom's fault. He's not giving me an uplifting message. You know, I wanted the five V's to victory. I wanted the five P's to perfection. I wanted the five F's to a fantastic life. And that's not the way Tom preaches. And I got angry. And I talked to him about it one day. You know, the men's groups are a great time. If you ever get a chance to go to Keswick, the men's groups really are a great time. There's a lot of time to talk on the way up, a lot of time to talk on the way back. You're kind of trapped in a car. But you know what, though? It forces you to really kind of open up. And we've had some great conversations on the way up and on the way back. and even in the hot tub, you know, man soup, right? But I said to Tom one day, I was venting to Tom, and I said, you know, Tom, I just want you to, just once, can't you give an uplifting message? Can't you just preach once and let us feel good? Can't you just show us how to have victory? Like, okay, I have this anger. How do I get victory over the anger? I have this besetting sin. How do I get victory over this besetting sin? And while I was talking to him and I was venting to him, he said to me, well, you know, you listen to me on Sundays, but you don't really come out to anything else. And in truth, I don't. I don't come out to prayer, and I don't come out to Bible study, and I don't really come out to anything else. I'm here on Sundays, and that's when you see me. He says, you want all these uplifting messages. We have the internet, and we have the radio, and everything else. You can listen to any pastor or any preacher you feel like listening to. Do you listen to them? It's kind of a double-edged sword, because if you answer no, then the truth is you don't really want to hear this uplifting preaching, because you could hear it, and you're not putting it on when it's your choice to hear it. And at the time, I was listening, because Rachel's good at feeding me stuff. So I listened to James McDonald, and regardless of what happened with him, he was a good preacher. He had some good messages, and he was uplifting. And I always felt like there was a message, you know, there was a victory in him. And Ken Brown and Alistair Begg and Billy Graham and any of the other preachers, and I would listen to them. And Tom looked at me and he said, so how's that going for you? I don't understand what he means. He said, well, you're getting on me about preaching this way, and you're listening to this way. Are you applying this way to your life? Are you getting the victory that you're looking for? And the answer was no. He was right. So where is my victory? And the answer is, it's right here in the Bible. You know, it's amazing. In the Bible, there's more in this Bible than any soap opera in the world. You can't write this stuff. I mean, from Genesis 3, the fall of man, until Revelation, where God's talking about removing lampstands and condemning churches for their failures. It's a book of failure. It's a book of failure. And I mean, you're talking about lies, cheating, murder, deceit, war, incest, adultery. I mean, it's here. No sin. There is no sin that is common to man, right? It's all here. Everybody's done what we've done and more. And it's failure, cover to cover. But there's a difference, you see, because there's a line in here where if you turn to Christ and you turn to God in fear and in repentance and you ask for help, God is always faithful. He's faithful to forgive, and he's faithful to heal. He's faithful to restore what the locusts have eaten, and he's victorious. And there's nobody in the Bible that's victorious without the hand of God. There's nobody in here that can claim victory. It's all the victory of God. It's all Christ's victory and all God's victory. And then on the flip side, there's people who choose defeat. There's people that aren't going to ask God for forgiveness, and they're not going to turn, and they're not going to repent, and they're not going to ask for help, and they fail pretty miserably. And they fail. God makes sure that they fail. So there's a contrast: victory in Christ, defeat without Christ. So that's where my victory is. But for some reason, I choose defeat. I look at Tom's preaching over the last 20 years, and it's hard to be fresh. I mean, I see how hard it is to come up with one sermon. And I think this guy's got to do it every Sunday. And he's got to be on every Sunday. And he's got to preach the Word of God. And he's responsible. The Bible says we're responsible for every word that comes out of our mouth. And as a preacher, as a pastor, he's really responsible. He's going to stand before the Lord responsible for our souls. And it's rough. And it's, they say, don't judge a man till you walk a mile in his shoes. It stinks. And it's hard to come up with fresh stuff. And I was thinking about his preaching, and it really comes down to the wheel, right? And I'll tell you what, man, if you've been here for more than a minute, you've seen this wheel 10 times, right, or more. And I roll my eyes, I'm like, oh, the wheel, oh, the wheel. But you know what's sad? When I needed the wheel, because I wanted to present it today, I couldn't draw it. I couldn't remember it. And this is Tom's drawing, not mine. Tom had to draw it for me. So I can roll my eyes all I want, and I can say it's not fresh all I want, but I don't know it. It's not ingrained in my heart. It's not ingrained in my mind. And I'm living in defeat. And there's no one really to blame but myself. So when we look at the wheel, and we look at Tom's preaching, and we look at what the Bible says, there's so many pieces to the wheel that I'm missing because I choose to delete them from my life. You know, there's worship. And worship starts with basic choices of what am I going to watch on TV today? What music am I going to listen to in my car? What preacher am I going to put on and fill my heart with God's word? You know, it's easy to smile and wave your hand. That's cake. I can do that crying inside. But to have true worship, to have true fellowship with God, you have to be right with Him. You know, fellowship, we talk about fellowship, and I hang out with people from work, and I hang out with people that are ungodly, and I unequally yoke myself. And then we talk about ungodly things, and they're not always bad things. I mean, it's just not godly. It's not God-focused. It's not Christ-centered. And even good things don't bring any fruit if they're not Christ-centered. But because I choose not to hang out with Christian people, because I choose not to hang out with God's people where God's people are, I choose defeat. The next book on the wheel is the Word. And you know, like I said, this week, I made a commitment. I'm out of work for the next 6 weeks, so I have really no excuse. You know, my day starts out really rough. I get up early in the morning. I jump in the shower. I got to get the girls ready for school. I got to get ready for work. I've got to go to work. I got to check all my stuff, and I move. And somehow, some way, God's never word makes it into my heart. I never open it. I never read it. And so with my surgery, I have 6 weeks where I'm out of work, and the girls aren't in school. And I said, you know, I'm just going to be still and know that you are God. And I put the Bible right next to my lounge chair where I sit. And so every day it reminds me to open it up and get in the Word of God and just do a daily devotional every day and try and plant that in my heart. And it's made a difference. It really has. And if you don't open the Word of God every day, and you don't plant it in your heart, you don't plant it in your mind, you don't stand a chance. You're going to get knocked over. You're going to lose, because I do. When I choose not to get in the Word of God, I choose defeat. And that's why I'm defeated. The next spoke on the wheel is witness. Farmer Jake died Thursday night. And I never spoke to him. I prayed to God and I said, Lord, please, you know, I missed the opportunity so many times. You know, we hung out on his front porch and we hung out in his fields, and I knew he had cancer, and I'm a healthcare professional, and I knew he was dying. And I just felt weird. I felt like I wasn't right because I was in defeat. I felt like I had nothing to share because defeat and sin separates us from God, and I'm not living a godly life. And I felt like, how can I share my faith with somebody when I'm not walking? And it's a missed opportunity that I'm going to pay for. And I prayed to God. I'm like, Lord, please just bring him home one more time. Let me just talk to him. And I went to him the other day. He came home on hospice. And there were kids running around, and his family was all there, and everyone's sitting around holding his hand, talking to him. He was doped out of his mind on morphine. All he could do was just kind of raise his hand and kind of acknowledge I was there. But there was no way I was going to get to witness to him. And now he's in eternity. And if I stand in my house, I've got Gary and Sean. I've got Jim and Barb. I've got Jim and Nancy. I've got Izzy and Pam. I've got Will and Lisa. I've got Karen and Mark. I've got Butch and Dot. I've got Sean and Rachel. I have Rita and John. They're my neighbors. And I know their name. I lived there for 15 years. And I haven't witnessed to them. And it's not a joke. Everybody here has somebody that they know, somebody that they love, somebody that they talk to, somebody that they work with. And when they die, it's on your hands. It's on my hands. But I don't witness because instead I choose defeat. We come into prayer. Tom stands up here every chance he can get, and he begs us to come out to prayer. And I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. This is about me. But my prayer life consists of waking up in the morning, getting rushed, and I pray with the girls in the car, and it's nice. I mean, we spend our prayer time together, but it's not deep-rooted prayer. It's, you know, the three of us praying in the car, and it's important, and I'm not taking away from that time. But there has to come a time where you separate yourself and you turn off the TV and you turn off the distractions of the world and you get before the Lord and you ask for these things because they come from God's hand. And if you don't ask, you're not going to get them. And that's why I don't get them. Corporate prayer is important. We're in a lot of trouble. And everyone gets angry, and we roll our eyes when Tom puts down the church, but he's right. Starting with this church and moving out, he's right. As Christians, we are flaccid. We are weak. We're not living in victory. We're not changing lives. We're not, and I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about corporately. I don't know what you do in your personal life. And I'm not speaking to that. I know I am. But as a church, we're just not getting out there, and our message isn't heard. And it's because I choose defeat. And so I don't know what the answer is for me. And I don't know what the answer is for you. I mean, it comes down to a very simple, very basic, very conscious choice. And that is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. I want God to put me on a ski lift, and I want him to bring me to the mountaintop so that I can be in victory. And that would be great, because I used to be fat, but I'm still lazy. And I don't want to put in the legwork. I don't want to do the sacrifice that's involved. I don't want to cry. And I don't want to crawl. And so what I get is defeat. But the most meaningful mountaintops are the ones that we climb to. You know, people climb Mount Everest, and they die trying to get there. They die trying to get to the top of Mount Everest because it's important to them, and they climb. And so in order to get out of the valley, and in order to get to the mountaintop, in order to get to that victory, I need to be willing to climb. And it's hard. And I don't know, I guess that's it. I don't mean to be a bummer, and I'm not trying to say there is no victory, because there is victory. The Bible says that when we were born, when we gave our life to Christ, we were victorious. Jesus says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. And if you read the end, surprise, Jesus wins. And there will come a day where every tear will be wiped away, and we are going to be given new bodies, and we're going to be given new hearts and new souls and new minds. If you know Christ, you'll be in heaven, and it's all going to be washed away by the blood of Christ. But we're going to remember our failures, I think. I think we're going to regret our lost opportunities. I think God's going to show them. If we're responsible for every word that comes out of our mouth, we're certainly responsible for every word that doesn't. And we're certainly responsible for every action we do and every action we fail to do. And I ask for your prayer, because I'm not kind of trying to be up here and be a sad sack, but I'm living in defeat because I choose to live in defeat. And so I ask that you would pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you that whatever sin you're in, whatever's holding you back, you'll choose victory. That you'll choose to do the legwork, and you'll choose to do the sacrifice, and you'll come back to this mundane little wheel that we've seen 1,000 times, but if you apply it, if you listen to what Tom says, everything he says is true. We should be afraid. I know I should. The Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living God, and I tremble. You know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the Bible talks about making it as one to escape from a fire, coming in through the window with smoke on your back. And I used to think that that would be okay. I mean, I'd rather be in Camden in heaven than in hell. You know, as long as I made it into heaven, I didn't really care where I was. But as I get older and I get closer, my mind's changing a little bit. And I think I wouldn't mind a front row seat. But I'm going to have to put in the work and the dedication and the holiness and the righteousness that God calls for. So seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And that's all I have. Lord, I pray that everything I said today was from you and not from me. I pray that sharing my defeat and being vulnerable and honest will touch someone else's heart and help them to be honest with themselves. To look at themselves and realize that the only reason they're in defeat is because they choose defeat. That if we choose victory, victory is already ours. That if we choose Christ and we choose to do the hard work and we choose to do what you've called us to do and we're obedient, we can fly on wings of eagles and not be tired. Lord, make it so in my life. Make it so in each and every life here. In Jesus' name, amen.